cliffcentral.com.
A lot of people dream of being a very successful actor one day. They dream of getting a role in a movie. It's a very tough business to get into. And everybody asks how you do it. Well, today is your lucky day because we have just such a person here this morning. Mampo Brescia, how are you? You look gorgeous, by the way. You really are. You're a sight for sore eyes this time of the morning. Let me put on your microphone. There we go. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Wow.
Thank you for that
nice
beautiful
to see
compliment.
So no, well, it's the truth. It is the truth. It's very, very easy for me to be nice to you. Now, you must tell us about, first up, the Jakes Are Missing. This is in cinemas now, right?
Well, no, it's coming out on the 23rd of October.
Okay.
Tonight is the premiere.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Are you going to get all dolled up? Have you picked
all
out an outfit?
All dolled up, looking like a princess, I hope.
Have you picked up an outfit yet?
Yes.
What are you wearing?
I have a dress made by Kosi Nkosi. Hmm. I just wanted something really dreamy and whimsical, and she's just hit the nail on the head. So yeah, I'm gonna feel
premiere night is the night to shine.
It's my night.
Yeah, it's your night.
Yeah, so I'm gonna.
Now, you are the female lead.
Yeah.
In the movie.
Yeah,
so this is you're the one that they're gonna be standing with the cameras and the red carpet waiting to see.
Yeah, I mean we have a great ensemble cast, but yes, I'm.
Don't worry about them. It's all about you right now.
All about me.
Now, where is this premiere taking place?
At Cedar Square, Sturkinicle.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Are they going to have a little party afterwards?
Definitely.
Oh, how does it work with these premieres? Who do they invite?
I mean, you invite a whole host of people. Obviously, for the actors, we will invite our families, people that are close to us. Yeah, media, critics, just relevant people in the industry.
Do you have to invite the critics?
Yeah, because I mean, I think it's important for them to see what the film's about and sort of write about it.
I heard they only invite the critics because the critics can't afford to buy tickets for themselves. Because there's not much market for critics anymore.
Well, you know, most people can't afford to buy tickets for themselves.
That is the problem with cinema, but we'll get to that later on.
Right.
Now, with your movie coming out in the next week or two, what is the basic idea? What's the story here? So because the title is confusing. The Jakes Are Missing.
Well, it's really just a beautiful human story. It's a rom-com. It's about,
nice.
You know, Bianca wanted to, who's the writer and mm-hmm. producer of the film, she wanted to just have, to tell a story about a woman's journey of falling back in love.
Okay.
So I play Janice Stakes, who's that woman, who's caught between her life as a lawyer, being a mom, and being a wife. And she's kind of fallen out of love with her husband. Mm. And so she finds herself at a crossroad where she needs to decide, what does she want?
Does she want in or does she want out?
Stay with him or go and get yourself a Ben 10?
Right.
So you're not going to spoil it by
giving the story away. Okay. No, you have to go and see it.
But I'll bet you she leaves the guy.
Really? Why? Jeez, that's so pessimistic.
No, well, you know, some people, look.
Are you not a believer in love?
No, I do. I think love is great, but I don't think it's something you can rely on. It's not there forever and it's not constant.
Really?
No, it can't be. You think about it. You see people who, they're in love with each other and a couple of weeks later, they kind of,
I don't think love is the problem. I think life is.
You think life just gets hard and people fall out of love?
Yeah. I think they forget that they're in love.
I don't know. I think you start off and you're attracted to somebody and maybe things just don't work out. And you find out more about them as you sort of stay together.
But attraction is not love. Attraction is just, it's physical.
No, no. I'm saying that maybe you realize later on down the line you actually don't have that much in common and you don't really get along.
Right,
then you can't stay in love.
Yeah. I mean, I think love is complicated because you can love somebody that you don't like or somebody that you don't necessarily need to have a life with.
Right. No, absolutely.
But the love is there. And that's why it's not enough, unfortunately.
Now, what is the name of your character in this movie?
Janice. Yes.
Janice
Jakes. Yeah.
And now the husband is a successful guy because she's a lawyer.
Yeah, he's successful. He's in construction, an architect.
And have they got kids?
Yes, they have a son.
Okay, that changes things because it's much, much harder to leave a relationship if you're in a marriage with a kid.
With a kid, right. Yeah.
Are you married in real life?
I am.
Tell me about that.
I have a wonderful husband. We've been married 10 years now. And we have a 2-year-old daughter.
Hmm.
Yes. And marriage is It's hard, but it's beautiful.
Now, your surname, Brescia, what surname is that for?
Like, a black girl?
I've never heard that. I've never even heard the Brescia surname House. Of white people. Yeah, I know about the school.
It's Italian. It's actually a town in Italy.
So you married to an Italian?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Yeah. How did you two meet?
At the gym when I used to go.
At the gym? Tell me how this happened. Were you on one of those machines with the leg exercises?
Oh my God.
The thigh machines?
I feel like he was spying on my
Were you open and closed the legs?
Yes, I was doing that.
Oh,
exactly.
Wow. And he couldn't help it. He just came over and said, hello, I am from Italy. Very excited by you and the thigh machine.
He was not that creepy.
No?
No. He was wonderful. And I think there was just something about his spirit that sort of made me stop and look and listen and give him my number.
Isn't it very awkward though to meet in the gym?
Yeah, it's funny. The story is that I was at a different gym before, and I had a stalker, and I left that gym to go to another gym.
How bad was the stalker?
He was crazy. So nuts.
Would he follow you around the gym?
Yeah, and he'd come, when I'd leave, he'd come downstairs to my car, so he would like really scare me. And then he'd drive out with me and just
Men are disgusting.
Men can be gross.
They're the worst.
True. Huh? Yeah.
Okay, so you left that gym.
So I left
the
that gym, and I went to a different gym here in Morningside.
Don't say where it is, because the stalker will come back.
Yeah. Well, I don't go there anymore. I'm sure you can tell.
All right.
And he came up to me and just really just started talking. He made a joke, actually, which I can't remember. And so that sort of relaxed me. And I thought, I'm bad looking, you know. So
is he a good looking guy?
Oh my God.
One of those hot Italians?
Yeah. You know, my husband is 10 years older than I am, but you can't tell. He's got that beautiful olive skin, you know, the dark hair, big brown eyes.
He's got the accent?
I don't hear it anymore. People do.
Okay.
Because also it's kind of mixed because he speaks French too. He was actually born in Belgium.
Well, this sounds like a sexy arrangement that you two had at the beginning there.
Yeah, so there's like all that, you know, all that foreign language that...
Now, when you meet someone in the gym and you give them your number and everything, do you go back to training after that? Or do you just go, I don't need to be here anymore. Let me walk out of here.
Well, no, you know what? It kind of happened really fast. It was a whirlwind affair. I met him on a Tuesday night. We went out on the Friday night.
Yeah.
And that very night at dinner, I knew that he was going to be my husband. I knew that.
Really?
Yeah.
A lot of people say that they can tell straight out when they meet someone, whether that's the kind of person they're going to be with forever. Now, what to you gave the impression that this was the guy for you?
There was something about his spirit that I connected with. And I asked him straight away. I said, you know, what are your intentions? Because if we're not working towards a specific goal, I'm not going to see you again.
In other words, you gave him an ultimatum.
I did. On the first date.
So you said to him, listen, either you're going to marry me. Basically, this is what you were saying. Either you're going to marry me or you must get away.
Right.
You must go. Were you ready for marriage? Or were you ready for marriage with him?
I think it was him. Definitely him. You know, I can't even explain it. There was just something so beautiful about his spirit. Not just looking at him, but there was this calming serenity, you know.
What sort of work does he do?
He is a businessman. He runs a family-owned business, Sandown Travel.
Okay.
Shameless.
Wow. No, give it a plug. Yeah. So, in other words, you know, because an actor is, that's a tough life.
I mean,
a lot of the time when you don't have work, things can be very tight. When you do get work, it's sort of, it's sunny and it's great and it's terrific and there's money coming in. But a lot of people don't realize how many no's you have to hear before you get a yes.
Oh my God,
right?
And did I hear a whole lot of them.
Yeah?
Yeah, especially here in my own hometown.
Is it very depressing?
Completely.
When you want to act so badly. Yeah. This is the thing that drives you, that motivates you. And you make yourself available for every audition, and you go to this and you go to that, and sometimes things just don't land.
Yeah. You know, we're tortured souls, as they say, because we live in our heads, and everything for us is physical, it's mental, it's emotional. So you do tend to take it personally. What I learned is that it's not always about you or about your performance. You know, there are a whole host of things. Do you fit in with the rest of the cast? Everything, your height.
But you're being judged.
You're being judged constantly.
The whole time. Now, isn't that exhausting for you as well?
It is.
I mean, not just as a woman, because women are really, I mean, they get the brunt of it. Guys don't even have to. We talked about Seth Rogen just a moment ago. He's not much to look at, but he's in this Steve Jobs movie as Steve Wozniak. And with women, they often the casting people are men.
Right.
And they'll take a look and they'll go, well, you know, maybe she's too young or she's too old or she's too tall or she's too fat or whatever the case may be. They really are looking at you like an animal at the agricultural show, for God's sake.
Right.
Does that make you very, very self-aware?
No, you have to be as an actor anyway. Because you're going to be stepping into someone else's shoes or creating, you know,
character.
And it's the only, you know, Terry always says that that's what God does. God creates people, and here we are creating.
This is Terry Petto.
Yes.
Now she's your BFF, right?
Yes. Yeah.
The two of you, you see each other every week. How does it work? Because Terry's incredible, and she's also had tremendous success.
Yes. I mean, we speak almost every 5 seconds. She's away right now, which is kind of sad. She's shooting in Botswana, an international film. Go girl, yay.
Nice.
We see each other often, a lot, as much
how
as we can.
How did you meet her?
On the set of Jacob's Cross.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You just hit it off also,
it
straight
was
away.
Like a match made in heaven, straight away. We both were talking about being Bond girls, and then we were just like, yeah, yeah, Bond girl.
Wow.
You know, yeah, and then that was that.
It seems to me that you are the kind of person who can tell straight away whether this is someone you want in your life or someone you'll never want to see again.
Yeah, I think
that saves you a bit of time, right?
Totally. And I think it's an actor's thing, you know, because we're so in tune with energies and connecting. And it's very important for us to sort of like connect with people on a deeper level. And that's why I don't have a billion friends. I'm not a socialite. Because it's important for me to have good people.
On the phone right now, I've got your former BFF before you met Terry on the set of Jacob's Cross. She is furious, and she would like to just tell you that she doesn't appreciate the way you've completely left her out of your life, and you moved on to Terry Petter.
Get the questions, famous. You don't like me anymore.
Okay, thank you. Sure. I don't know where that came from. She just interrupted our conversation.
Wow. Wish I knew who you were.
No, I'm sure it's just someone who's got mental health issues. Now, when you do a TV show, it's very different to doing a movie.
Right.
And in Hollywood at the moment, there are a lot of people who are in TV because TV actually ends up paying better. You've got 13 episodes. You've got 6 months.
I mean, there's longevity with that. Yeah.
With a movie, you could spend a couple of months filming it and then...
And then that's that.
Right. Yeah. Plus, it always comes out a couple of months later.
Right.
With TV, it's almost...
It's every day.
Always
I mean,
happening.
Depending on the type of show that you're shooting.
So, what was Jacob's Cross like today? Because that was actually a very successful show here.
Right. Jacob's Cross was great. I mean, it feels like eons ago. But I loved it. I mean, I worked with Bomb Productions then, and I'm working with them now. So, it's kind of become a family thing. And you get used to the people that you're working with.
Right.
So, yeah, I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the character. I enjoyed the people that I worked with. And then, I don't even remember it. It feels so long ago.
Well, I mean, it was a big show as far as South African TV went, and it had a decent budget. And you see some of these other shows that they put together, and you could tell that they're really scraping together whatever they can to make it work.
Money's always an issue.
It is, huh?
Yeah.
And in acting, is there good money for the leads in a TV series, or is it also tight?
It's pretty tight. I mean, I guess it might depend on the type of show, whether it's successful or not, and what you negotiate for yourself. Have you been working for a long time? You know, all those things come into play. What your character, you know, how first call basis, are you on contract?
Now in America, the awards shows help people to figure out which actors and actresses they want.
Yeah.
All it does is it ups your quote.
Right.
Essentially.
Right.
So if you have won an Oscar, then you can charge so much more for appearing in a movie.
Absolutely.
How does it work in this country? How do they evaluate?
Not like that.
How do they figure out what to pay you?
You know, I'm not really sure, to be quite honest, Karen.
You got an agent?
No, I don't actually. Well, I do. I have an agent, but with Isibaya, it didn't go through my agent because I'd just come back from the States. And what happened was I bumped into Desiree Makhraf, who I'd worked with on Jacob's Cross, and she was like, "We're doing this new show. You should come in. We want to screen test." Blah blah blah.
Was that Isibaya?
Okay. Yes. So that kind of like happened really, really quickly. And I wasn't coming back to work. I was actually planning to come back and have a baby and kind of chill. And then it just happened, you know, and then the show blew up. So I had to go in there and negotiate for myself.
Oof, that's tough.
Yeah, that is tough because you never want to be the person, you know, the, can I say asshole?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. you know, you don't want to be that asshole that's you know, fighting about money.
Yeah.
But and it's important to know your worth as well.
But also it's so unfair because at least if you have an agent in the room, they can go.
They're the ones that.
Or tell me more about that. You always feel kind of bad talking about money.
I do.
I always think.
And because we're not naturally entrepreneur, we're not business people as artists, you know, so it's kind of, we just want to work. We're about the passion and
exactly.
the art. So it's taught me to sort of like think more in that way.
And you've chosen well, though. I mean, for someone who hasn't got an agent with them every step of the way, you've chosen some very good projects. I mean, Jacob's Cross, EC Buyer.
Well, I didn't have a lot of choice, to be quite honest.
Really?
Yeah.
Were you trafficked?
I was told no a lot. Apparently because of my vernacular. Apparently it's rubbish. And I don't
you
know
You can't
why.
Speak...
I can. I totally can. I speak
What's
multiple
home language?
Languages. I'm Sotho.
You Sotho?
Yes.
Okay. So if you... what was their problem with your pronunciation?
I don't know. Apparently I sounded rubbish.
Spent too much time around Italians, right?
I clearly.
That's probably part of it.
Yeah, tainted.
They said that you're not good enough.
I sounded awful. I don't look typically South African, which is so bizarre to me. I don't know what a typical South African is supposed to look like.
Well, I suppose it... maybe they think that you look exotic and beautiful in a different way.
I think there are a lot of exotically looking beautiful.
Because typical South Africans don't look beautiful.
You know, it's
well, it's the dumbest argument, right?
It is, completely. Yeah. And so I got that a lot of the time.
How do you respond to that stuff? I mean, do you go home and have a hot bath and cry or...
Yeah, I guess I cried a lot.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. But I wasn't going to change who, you know, this is who I am. And my argument was, but that's why it's called acting.
Mm.
You know, you transform.
You pretend.
Yeah. Do not see me. What I would ask is, okay, but how was my performance?
Yeah.
You know, isn't that what counts? But no. So, it didn't work out for me a lot of the time.
Tell me about EC Buyer.
EC Buyer, the roller coaster show of my life. EC Buyer is fantastic. I love being Iris. She's so fun to play. I have a great cast. Ensemble cast. You know, the first year of EC Buyer was so insane because it was supposed to be.
What sort of schedule do you guys have on a show like that?
Well,
is it 5 days a week?
You know, the first year was 6 days a week.
Oof.
And we'd work from 6:30 in the morning to 6:30 p.m.
Wow. That's exhausting.
Yeah, it was insane.
Now, when you're on a set, just for those of us who will never go onto a set, I'm sure you know, lots of people want to know how it works. So you arrive in the morning.
Yeah.
And you go straight into makeup.
Well, you should have breakfast first.
Oh, you have some breakfast.
Yeah.
They look after you in terms of breakfast.
Yeah,
but it's probably not very healthy breakfast.
Not usually.
So if you go and you eat the crew breakfast every morning, you're going to pack on some weight.
You probably will. Okay. Yeah.
So you arrive there, you go for breakfast. Then after that, what, you'll report
makeup,
to makeup?
Yeah. Okay. Makeup, hair.
And
then
wardrobe.
Yeah. Then rehearsals.
And at this point, you know your lines?
You should.
How long in advance do they give them to you?
It depends on the writing team. Sometimes the scripts are like, oh, here's your script for today, or here are the changes.
Because they could change them at the last minute, right?
Yeah, it can happen.
Sure.
But
normally, how long do you need to memorize a couple
of lines? Oh, you should get them in advance, maybe a week.
Are you good with remembering your lines?
I have a giant hippocampus, so yeah.
Lucky you, a hippocampus, huh? I wish mine was bigger. I sometimes have people look at me and they just go, oh, you can just tell from the outside you've got a tiny hippocampus. But you need to be able to remember stuff.
Yes.
And then forget it soon afterwards as well.
Right.
Because you could clear the space.
We shoot 20 pages a day. So you can be in back-to-back scenes. So it's about that, knowing your lines and the performance for that scene. And then, it's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. But I love words. I'm good with words. I remember words well. Mm-hmm. Numbers, I'm awful. I would be like the president.
Like the president.
Yes. I have dyscalculia.
I don't know. I don't know if you're as bad as him, but I did get that funny picture of him. I don't know if you saw it, where he goes, call me back on 083770 and 5,011,005.4.
That's me.
No, come on. You can't be that bad.
Totally.
Where did you go to school?
I went to Macaulay House Convent.
Where's that?
It's in Auckland Park. It was an all-girls school run by nuns.
Oh, were they strict?
Yeah.
I've heard that, that Catholic schools like that are really strict.
Very much so.
And the nuns, they take no prisoners.
Yeah.
They will beat you. They will do whatever. Were they vicious, violent nuns?
Not violent, but can you see how I'm sitting?
See, I don't laugh. They are. They're vicious, violent nuns.
What do vicious, violent nuns do?
Yeah. Ask Mampo. She'll tell you. Yeah?
Oh, my gosh. I don't want to go to jail.
No. You won't go to jail. Nuns, listen, there are a lot of these women who are sadomasochists, and they get into it because they want control.
No, we were never beaten.
No?
No, just punished.
Okay, all right. I heard Sister Inviolata once bent you over her knee and smacked you with a ruler until...
Sister who?
Inviolata of the Immaculate Conception. No?
Oh, my Lord. We did have a Sister Veronica that we were terrified of.
Why, was she just big and strong?
No, she was actually tiny.
Was she mean?
She was scary.
Mean?
Yeah, yeah. And she shook, and we weren't allowed to shake hands. We weren't allowed to hug each other.
What?
Yeah, yeah.
Why not?
She didn't find that appropriate.
Oh, she thought you might turn into lesbians.
I think she was trying to prevent that.
Really?
Yeah.
How insane. Yeah. Good Lord. Listen to your story, though. You've got a very interesting life.
I've had a great life, I gotta say.
Now, you're 2-year-old.
Yes.
It's a little girl, right?
Yes.
What's her name?
Rain Madison.
Rain Madison.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a pretty awesome name.
Yeah. We called her Rain because she's 5 years in the making. She took forever to be made, to come. And then finally we have her. We had her, and it was like the rain. She was just as right as rain.
A lot of parents who try to have kids after 2-3 years, they give up and they adopt or whatever. Yeah. Were you thinking about that if it didn't happen?
I mean, we'd always wanted to. We were going to anyway,
right.
if you know, whether we had our own or not.
Yeah.
We wanted a kid, so we were going to get one with her.
And when you found out, there must have been huge excitement. Do you remember where you were?
We were actually about to travel to Italy.
Yeah.
And we cancelled our trip.
Well, that's a good enough reason.
Yeah.
How far along were you when you discovered this?
It's kind of complicated.
Go on, tell me. I don't mean to pry if it's something it's difficult to talk about. What is it?
How do I say this? You're prying.
Oh, come on, tell me. Just give me an idea of what was going on here. Did you you suddenly went, oh my God, I think I'm pregnant? I mean, did you did you go and get a pregnancy test, or did you suspect something was wrong? Were you feeling sick?
No, I wasn't feeling sick at all. We actually adopted.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Well, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Can I tell you why? Because I think adoption is the most responsible thing a parent can do.
Really?
Yeah, I do. I think that there are a lot of kids who don't have loving families.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of kids in this country who need parents.
Right.
And if you can adopt and you can give a child a home,
yeah,
and you can make their life better,
mm-hmm,
I think that's the most amazing thing anyone can do. I have such love and respect for adopting parents who adopt.
Oh.
That's tremendous.
Yeah.
That really is special.
Yeah, and it's crazy because she's a mini-me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think that a lot of this stuff, because people will say sometimes, you know, genetics are such an important part of this, but a lot of other people will say, no, it's the environment. And kids will learn to be like their parents if their parents aren't even their biological parents.
Right, yeah.
They pick up their characteristics, their behavior, their tone of voice.
No, absolutely. I mean, I think it's a whole lot of hogwash, this whole genetics thing. I can't give it credence because to me, it's as if she came out of me. It's the same.
It's exactly the same. And often if you see two identical twins, supposedly, they're so different.
Yeah.
Just proves that the genes aren't everything.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But that's very special. Why do you say that she's a mini you, though? I mean, what kinds of things does she do that reminds you of you?
It's so insane because she'll come into my bedroom in the morning and she's like, Mommy, I need to do my lips.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, what do you mean?
She's two.
She's always in my shoe cupboard.
Yeah.
Always with my shoes and whatever. She loves clothes and she loves herself. And then she's
going to be very glamorous one day.
Yeah,
obviously.
Totally. She's so dramatic. You know, she loves to sing and dance. And she's just all about her, which I know that was what I was like at 2. Yeah. And that's what my mother always says. She always, she's like, this kid. And my sister's like, you just got you. Cause
were you a bit of a performer when you were a kid?
Always been.
So at family lunches and things, you'd be up on the table dancing.
My siblings would get so mad because my dad would make them sit down and watch my performances. And then they were like, just want to watch TV, like go away. And I'd be like, okay, so here's the show now. And my dad loved that about me, you know, and he thought, he was thoroughly entertained. He thought it was hilarious. I've always been just that little performer, loved.
Do you think acting is something you're born with or it's something you learn?
I think it's a combination of the two. But you do have to have the passion for it. You do have to be in love with being, you know, able to tell a story from someone else's perspective or looking at words and seeing the picture in your head. And the learning part comes in with technique. You know, you have to acquire a specific technique. You have to sort of polish that talent to make sure that you're able to do what is required. You know, so it's not just the passion.
I think it's great that you've done all the work that you already have, and I wish you all the best with the movie that's coming out now, because I think that's going to be very exciting. Good luck for the premiere tonight.
Yeah, nervous. Hey, I'm nervous about it.
We'll all keep an eye out for that outfit that you were talking about earlier.
Okay.
So I'm sure it'll be very impressive. Now you can watch The Jakes Are Missing. It is a rom-com. It starts in cinemas from next week.
Yeah, 23rd.
The premiere will be tonight, so you'll see it in all the newspapers, magazines over the next few days.
Right.
And look out for Mampo Brescia. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Lovely meeting you.
Yeah, nice to have you here. And tell Terry Petto we say hello.
I will.
You lived in America for a few years, right?
I did, yeah, in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. What's that place like as an actress?
Oh, my God. That is the mecca of film and television. And there are about 2 million actors in Los Angeles. And that industry, that's all it's about.
I think everyone in LA is an actor.
Everyone. I mean, your waiter,
you're not a waiter. No, yeah. No, I'm just an actor,
waiting for
this career.
So many
to open
broken
up.
Dreams, but so inspiring at the same time because it's just, that's what, that's what it's about. You go to school all the time, you know, you're auditioning all the time. So it's so challenging.
Well, Mampo, you know what? You're doing it. You're living your dream. You're doing the best work that you can. And I mean, it's amazing. I think that movies and TV shows like you've been in are all tremendous successes. And you could be very, very proud.
Thank you.
I just look at the CV. There's Jacob's Cross. There's Isibaya. There's The Jakes Are Missing. There's Trom Hotel, which is the German feature film that you were in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's good stuff here, huh?
Yeah.
Well done. Well done to you.
We're very
proud to have you.
Thank you so much.
And all the best in the next couple of months. I think the movie should do very well.
Yes.
Are we looking for box office success? Are you going to be checking out the reviews? Do you read your own reviews?
I really don't. I don't have time, to be quite honest.
Would it upset you if you did and they didn't say nice things?
No, because I just think that, you know, to sort of like buy into your own hype or to be sad about being criticized,
a lot of people can't help themselves. They open up those reviews and then it destroys them.
Yeah.
So better that you can avoid them if you can.
Yeah.
All right, Mampo. Pleasure to see you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mampo.
Mampo Brescia, the movie's called The Jakes Are Missing. It comes out in cinemas next week. Don't miss that. CliffCentral.com